Hello. You're about to listen to one of our audio-only webcasts, which was taken from one of our popular video webcasts. We'd love to get your feedback on how valuable and effective this format is for you. After you listen, please take a couple minutes and go to www.webcastaudio/survey to complete a quick evaluation. That's webcastaudio.com/survey. Thanks for the feedback and enjoy this podcast.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to welcome you again to our Microsoft webcast today. It's entitled Optimizing ROI with the Microsoft Branch Office Infrastructure Solution. Today, we have presenting Tom Pacello. Tom is the Chief Executive Officer and founder of Valinian, an IT consultancy firm. And Tom is the former Managing Vice President Gartner. He is also a noted author and expert in return on investment analysis and business value quantification of technology. Tom, thanks so much for being with us today. You now have the floor.
Thanks so much, John. Welcome, everybody. And as John indicated, we're going to be talking about branch office solutions today, and in particular, how to obtain and analyze and quantify the return on investment from new Microsoft branch office technology. So the first part of the agenda today, we're going to give a little bit of background on why IT return on investment analysis and tools are so important. What are the opportunities for savings? And overall, how do you quantify the ROI from IT investments? Then we're going to go through and look at some of the new Microsoft branch office technology, and in particular, focus on some of the quantifiable benefits that they can deliver in reducing the cost of managing and providing IT support and services to branch offices. Most of the meeting is going to be spent on reviewing an interactive calculator, which is kind of a misnomer with it. It really is a powerful ROI analysis tool that is located at www.strongbranches.com. And we're going to go through this calculator, go through a little case study using it, and I'll provide training on exactly how to use that tool to generate compelling PowerPoint and Word reports so that you can, after the meeting, go in and put in your own scenarios and analyze the ROI for proposed Microsoft branch implementations. And then at the end, if there's any questions from any of the presentation material or on the use or access to the calculator itself, be happy to answer those questions. So throughout, if you've got questions, things come to mind, please put them in the question and answer pane, and I'll be happy to get back to them a little bit later. All right. First, let's talk a little bit about IT budgets, IT spending, and total cost of ownership. When we look and at total cost of ownership for a typical IT organization, we find that a lot of the focus tends to be on what is being spent on hardware, what's being spent on software, how much is being spent on outsourced services. Yet the real opportunity, the real biggest investment that most IT departments make is in people. People and people equivalents consume about 56% of current IT budgets. And this is based on IDC Alinian research that we did in 2005. And it's much the same in 2006. So where everyone tends to focus on is how much can we get a discount on this server or this desktop or, you know, how much are we spending on particular application packages or software, when in fact more attention needs to be paid to and focused on how much is being spent on overall labor. And more importantly, not how that labor cost is reduced, but how it's best allocated in organizations. Because as we do this research, what we find is that most organizations do not want to reduce necessarily how much they spend on IT, in particular, very skilled labor and resources that they have. It's moreover how you maximize those investments. And as we look at the next piece of research that I wanted to kind of highlight to you today out of a lot of the total cost of ownership research that we've done with IDC, is that IT is unfortunately consumed mostly with spending money on keeping the lights on versus overall investments on innovation, which are new functions, new applications, helping the business enter new markets, for example, via e-commerce, or launching a new partner portal so you can collaborate with partners, or perhaps a customer portal to collaborate with customers. So those are some examples of innovation. And that's only about 10% right now of the average budget. We find that that does vary by industry. For example, in finance, that number typically is in the 14 to 15% range. The majority of the budget is spent on operations management and maintenance. That's general support and maintenance of users and existing assets, just keeping them up and running, optimizing them, supporting break-fix management, supporting users, supporting access to those systems, making sure they're available. So that is still the majority of the investment. Migrations and upgrades are consuming about an additional 25% more. And indeed, the organizations are getting some incremental business improvement from those migrations and upgrades. But the biggest bang for the buck is in innovation and new functions. That's where IT really helps to contribute the most to changing and transforming the business, to capturing revenue opportunities, to improving productivity. And in most organizations, 10% is not enough. Most organizations want that to be closer to 20%. And so the whole key is that if the majority of IT spending is on labor and the majority of IT is consumed with keeping the lights on, how do we shift those resources that we're spending so much money on, the IT labor, IT people, and get them out of just keeping the lights on and move them more towards implementing the next big application, supporting the business units, and really innovating? So the key message out of these two pieces of research are maximizing resources to drive innovation. And that's really what the branch investments ultimately are about. As we'll see, branch really consumes a lot of IT spending. Branches are remote, they're hard to support, and they tend to be very costly with regard to the amount of labor it takes to manage those incredibly valuable assets for the business. So in what we put together in terms of the ROI story, it's not about how we, you know, cut headcount or how we reduce cost overall just for the sake of reducing cost. It's really about reducing cost to reallocate it towards features and functions that will help make the branch less expensive to support and maintain and more agile and more business-oriented investments to really support those branches. Overall, when we look at business value analysis and you know, look at what it really means, it's really making the case for change. So what we're going to go over today is branches are being run a certain way with IT today, with certain core technology, and how can some of the new technology from Microsoft, Microsoft Branch Server, and other applications that Microsoft has introduced, how do those help to drive business improvements? And today it's about analyzing whether the case for change, the case for implementing these solutions, makes sense for your particular environment. And what we're going to do is model and simulate the impact of the proposed solutions. And when we do that, we look at it over time. So if we look at the bottom, we're going to look at it over a 3-year or a 5-year period, whatever your standard time horizon is for doing ROI or business case analysis. And in the beginning, any kind of change requires an investment. There's going to be a cost, probably a cost for new software, labor to implement that software. And over time, though, after it's deployed, hopefully you get a benefit in cost reduction from implementing that solution. So we're going to look at what it costs to implement and make sure we're not being shy on the cost, make sure that we've tallied up all of the labor, all the support services, all of the software and hardware investments we need, and then over time simulate what the impact is. Now, the simulation is done based on IDC research on specific implementation of this new technology and what it yielded typical in various businesses. So we've taken that research and put it directly into the tool and software. And there's a white paper that you can look at to analyze the research and the metrics that we used when we put it into the tool. So you can see how that research was done, specifically how many companies were surveyed, and what the overall average results are. And then we're going to simulate, though, what the specific results are for your particular environment when you use the tool. As well, the case for change may include not only cost savings to the business, but perhaps The new technology can help the business become more agile, provide better customer support and service, for example, in branches, and perhaps drive additional revenue opportunities. In the particular tool we're going to look at today, we focused much more on business and IT costs and how we're going to help to reduce those. Focus a little bit on improving the business, but it was mostly about how we can help to reduce overall labor costs, reduce overall IT spending, and have a shift to more innovative investments. If we look overall at branches and look at the advantages that they provide the business, those of you who have branch offices and manage those offices know the value that they have. They are the primary point of contact for most businesses. It directly is where your people are meeting customers, addressing their needs. So if it's an insurance agency and there are insurance branches, or a bank with bank branches or retail locations that you're supporting, you know that this is exactly where the customer is serviced, where they interact with your employees, and having the proper computer support up and running and available, providing value-added services immediately and instantly so that they can better support the customers, is absolutely essential in customer service, customer responsiveness, differentiation by providing a much more service focus. And the other challenge in managing branches is that they tend to be very localized, and you're supporting a diverse workforce. So some of the things we found in the research when we worked with IDC to put together the research for this project is that offices tend to have a lot of different functions in them, and in some cases, many different business functions. Some are sales, some are customer service oriented, some are processing oriented and back office oriented. So many different functions are conducted at the branch, which means it's a challenge because you have a lot of different applications running in the branch. And then also, branches tend to be very distributed geographically. Many of the companies that we used in the research had international branch offices. And even in the United States, you know, if there were just a U.S. branch office analysis, how you support customers and deal with them in the Southeast compared to the Northeast, compared to the Midwest, compared to the West, is quite different. So we found that localization of services really required that, there be different applications and customization because of the different functions being performed and also the different services that were being delivered region to region to region. And also, if it's an international support environment, the applications were being delivered in localized languages, and there were certainly language barriers and issues if you were trying to support it from a central location. So branches are essential to the business, a key competitive differentiator, but they're also, due to their nature, very, very complex. And as a result, that really drives up the cost for IT in supporting the branches. So if we look at organizations that have branch offices, we find that on average, IT spending for a branch consumes about one-third of the total IT spending for that organization. The branches have to share data with corporate headquarters and other offices. They typically have expensive wide area network bandwidth costs. So keeping the branches connected to the main office, sharing data, processing, accessing applications, tend to drive up the bandwidth costs. And costs of downtime, if the branch is not reliable, if they're having performance issues, is significant because, as we discussed, these are the main customer touch points. And if you go into your local Starbucks or your local bank branch office and you can't process because those applications are down, those customers walk and go next door. It's very easy for them to do that. So any downtime typically results in lost productivity for the branch workers and, worse, potentially lost customers. Branches as well tend to be very difficult to manage. Local IT skills and support are not always an option. So having, unless the branches are of significant size, typically they're being supported remotely and or being supported by local service providers. And managing those local service providers and providing them with a solid infrastructure that doesn't require a lot of management is really key, because if you've got to have service contracts distributed with professional service providers who are trying to manage this geographically dispersed branch office environment, you might be dealing with 20 or 30 in the United States, 5 or 6 in Europe in terms of how many providers you have, and it can be very difficult to manage those service providers. As well, if the infrastructure is solid, easier to support, it makes their job easier, and hence the expenses for those local support outsourced providers much cheaper to provide. The computing resources for branch typically need to be local. It's very difficult to centralize all of the servers and everything else for the branch and have the applications run to the performance needs available. So it's a given that in most of these instances, centralization of those resources is not possible. The computing resources need to be local in most instances. And then, two, the data tends to be very distributed. So in our studies, we found that approximately 1/2 of all the data that the branches deal with is distributed. And of course, there's administrative challenges in deploying new systems, moves, adds, and changes, management, protection in terms of security, protection in terms of backups. It's a challenge because many times there isn't a very skilled IT person in that branch office. Some might have it where there's a smart manager who kind of takes care of some of the IT roles. Perhaps there's a local service provider that's delivering some of these services. But most of the time in the study, what we found was it's falling back on central IT, and central IT is having a difficult time instantiating policies, dealing with physical moves, adds, and changes that need to occur, and even dealing with logical moves, adds, and changes to those remote systems. And as we spoke about, protection is really important. Many of the branch offices deal with customer data. There's strict compliance rules in many industries. And because these sites are remote, they are difficult to secure. There are disaster recovery challenges. There are potential issues with networking and network security. And the servers themselves, and more importantly, the data that's on those servers are physically in the branch. So there's physical security to worry about with actually securing the assets within the branch. You know, when they're back in the central IT and they're in a data center that's secured with barcodes and access security, in the branch office many times the servers are exposed or they're in a closet. So physically there's a security protection issue on all of the assets there. And then of course logically, without having an IT resource there to make sure that firewalls are up and running, that access over the WAN is secured via VPN and other items like that, there is an issue with really instantiating and implementing and making sure that the security is up and running and solid for the remote resources. So those are just some of the challenges. As we said, branches are so valuable and are a requirement for the business that it's just a fact of doing business that many of these companies spend 1/3 of their IT budget on branch office management and support. The key is, as we go back to the earlier slides, how do we make it less expensive? And then how do we take those investments that we've been making in branch and reallocate it to more innovation? So Microsoft has provided a few solutions to help improve branch office manageability and security and to address some of these features. The main solution that we're going to look at today in terms of its potential impact and what we're going to look at examining changing to is moving to Microsoft Windows Server 2003 R2. What are the costs? What are the benefits? And ultimately, what's the ROI of implementing that solution? So if we look at the overall features that Windows Server 2003 R2 incrementally provides, the first is remote differential compression. So essentially, WAN bandwidth can be improved. You can centralize remote backups without taxing the bandwidth and overall provide faster and better use of the overall WAN bandwidth for system maintenance and also internet application access. Overall enhanced print services, so centralized print media access controls, management console is now provided where you can manage those printer resources remotely. Do diagnostics, make sure they're up and running. Many branch offices print invoices, print reports, print vital information for customers that are important in the workflow. So really assuring that printers are up and running. You wouldn't think of it sometimes, but it's really one of the key areas of making sure that you're not losing valuable productivity and customer experience issues is having printers up and running. And having remote management of those printers is essential. Microsoft Management Console improvements have been made, so you can improve remote management capability of servers and assets within the branch. Enhanced distributed file system, which includes differential replication, virtual access to folders and files, regardless of named network servers. So what this does is provide you with seamless access to information, and also in the case when the WAN might not be available or various servers in the network might not be available, it will still help you to get to the information that you ultimately need. And then there's a couple of other features, single sign-on, improved Unix capability, identity federation, that you can read about in the research in terms of exactly how those are going to impact overall benefits. One of the other aspects that we looked at was implementing Microsoft ISA Server 2006, Internet Security and Acceleration. And here, basically, this will help you to secure the branch and also improve overall web performance. So when we look at ISA, it'll help you to connect and secure the branch office by essentially providing an alternative VPN connectivity to the central office. Now, there are other ways to do this. You can buy dedicated gear from Cisco and other network providers to actually implement this. But going through ISA has several advantages. And one of them is that you can avoid having to have this extra gear available and have to manage it. So it does provide a virtual private network capability and secure access to the central office. It also provides, along with that, HTTP compression. So it compresses web content and essentially allows you to reduce bandwidth and improve response time on any HTTP accesses. It has high-performance web caching, so common web content will be cached, and that'll also help to reduce bandwidth. For updating and different applications, operating system, implementing security patches at branches, it's really important to keep the servers and clients up to date with the latest software, the latest patches, particularly if you want to secure those branches and make sure they're up and running. So a feature within ISA is Background Intelligent Transfer Service Bits, and that allows service packs, patches, and updates to the branch office to be distributed much more effectively. We found in doing some of the research that many organizations were not updating branches as often as they should with these valuable patches and updates to different applications because of bandwidth issues. It would take too long to do it, it would cause downtime, or they had to be scheduled in very complex fashion to kind of daisy chain over time these updates, so doing a few one weekend, a few another weekend, a few weekend after that. And now with Bits, you can drastically save on bandwidth and reduce the time it takes to do service packs, patches, and application updates. And then another feature, which we really didn't look at the impact of this too much, concentrating more on the cost side than on the overall business benefit sides. But one of the things that ISA lets you do is securely publish your content for remote access. So sharing, for example, Exchange Server and Office SharePoint with other application servers, particularly giving access, for example, to SharePoint to partners and customers. That can be enabled with ISA, so you can control access to not only corporate applications via the VPN, but you can also provide access to partners, customers, trading partners, via ISA to things like Microsoft Office, SharePoint, and other applications. And that's all done in a secure fashion. So overall, in terms of the goals for the branch office solutions, the first one is when we did the research, what we found is that overall manageability was drastically improved. So first of all, it helped to reduce the infrastructure complexity. Implementing these solutions helped to streamline how much hardware was ultimately needed at the branch and at corporate offices, and ultimately how much bandwidth was being consumed. So overall, it helped to reduce the complexity of the infrastructure. It helped to lower IT labor and services costs for monitoring, supporting, and managing the branch office assets. And overall, it helped to keep the branch offices up to date and helped to innovate. So patches were done more often, application upgrades were done more often, and overall, branches were managed in a much more effective way to keep the business agile and keep it protected. Overall, it was able to lower costs and maximize user productivity, so it helped to reduce the cost for bandwidth and networking. So it freed up that bandwidth for applications and other items by reducing the amount that it took, for example, to do backups, to do updates. And overall, if you implemented ISA, it helped to speed up any web-based applications with web caching and HTTP acceleration. It provided users with faster and easier data access and business functionality, eliminated users' wasted time from replication and latency, and overall reduced lost productivity from improving availability and uptime and reducing downtime. And as well, we spoke about it improving security, so it reduced security risks by protecting data on a day-to-day basis, so it automatically did replication of the data, facilitated better disaster recovery by providing failover, and also allowing branches to be effectively backed up in the allowable windows. That was very important if there's big data sets that are changing and you wanted to do remote backups of that branch office so that you don't have to rely on someone local to change out a tape or swap a tape or reliably have to handle that very sensitive data. This allowed everything to remain centralized via the bandwidth improvements, be able to do those remote backups effectively. And we spoke about some of the security protection via VPN and other elements that it provided. So overall, what I'd like to do now is take us over and share with you the branch office savings calculator. And what we're going to do is launch it the same way that you would launch it off of www.strongbranches.com. And on this page, you'll see two really valuable pieces of information. The first is the branch office calculator. So this is where you can put in your particular scenarios, the ones you want to consider for upgrade. You put in how many branches you have, how much it costs you to manage those branches today, different service levels and availability that you yourself are experiencing, and it'll go and model and simulate the impact from the proposed Microsoft upgrade solutions, Branch Server R2 and ISA 2006, and you can model and simulate precisely what the impact is going to be, what it's going to cost, and what are the benefits. And we're going to go through that in detail. As well, there's a downloadable IDC white paper. And that white paper goes over the specific research that we used in the tool, the specific research that International Data Corporation, IDC, one of the largest analyst firms, performed by interviewing specific customers who implemented these branch office solutions and exactly what experiences they had. What did it cost in terms of investment, and overall what savings were provided? And that data was used directly in the branch office savings calculator. So by clicking on the specific icon for the branch office calculator, it'll launch the tool for you. And as we said, calculator is a little bit of a misnomer. You'll see how thorough the analysis is and how many dials you can turn to make sure that this analysis is specific to your particular business. So first of all, the tool starts with four tabs that we're going to walk through at the top. The first is a questionnaire tab, and that's where we're going to collect information about the specific opportunity that we have. What's the company profile, and what are the costs today that we could possibly improve? The second step in our analysis is going to be to configure our proposed solution. So what specifically do we want to implement Microsoft Branch Server 4 and ISA 4 so that we can understand what goals we have and what we want to focus on in terms of the particular benefits. The third step is a TCO comparison. And what that's going to do is compare our current costs to So the cost, today, as is, if we just continue managing our branches with the same technology and same style and assets that we're doing today, compared to the total cost over the next 3 to 5 years of using this new technology from Microsoft and these new best practices that the technology helped you to implement. So we're going to do a head-to-head comparison of as is over the next 3 years, what is it going to cost? And then 2B, including the change cost to implement Microsoft, what is it going to cost and what is it going to save and how does that look in cumulative basis over the next 3 to 5 years? And then in the fourth step, we're going to look overall at the net benefits that get delivered. What cost avoidance, what productivity improvements, what user improvements can we provide, and how are those quantified? And at every step, we're going to completely review the research, see if it applies to our particular environment, and completely personalize it for ourselves. So getting started, there's a few simple questions that you fill out. The first is, what industry are you in? So let's do that. We're a financial services company. What is your geographic location? And you can see we have all different locations throughout the world that are available as a choice. And we're going to stick with the United States for now. And then primary site locations. So this is, where are the branch offices essentially located? Are they in rural, suburban, urban, or metropolitan regions? And overall, kind of where is the business located? And what we use these three factors for, industry classification, geographic location, and primary site location, is essentially to look up unique costs for each one of these. So what are the unique costs by industry? What are the unique costs in research by region? And then what are the unique costs by site? In particular, this drives salary data and other information such as networking costs and a couple of other factors that get tuned for the particular industry, particular location, and in terms of geography and location in terms of sites. Now, when you change a default, you can see it turns green. And one of the key goals in our analysis here is to try to turn as much of the questionnaire and the information that's being asked for green that we can. Green means that you've reviewed and have accepted and either changed a default. And the industry research is very good that IDC performed. They surveyed many different companies, and you can read about that in the white paper, as we said before. But every company is unique. So even though we have put research data into this tool, for your particular analysis, that data is not right because you're a very unique company. So one of the things you can do is you can use the industry research that we're going to load based on the industry, geographic location, site, and branch profiles in here. But one of the keys is to make sure you spend time before you print the final report and spend the money and investment on something like this is to make sure that you're replacing all of the defaults with actual values. So we describe where all the data came from, how the defaults were calculated, but overall you want to replace it with your company's actual information. The next thing that we need to collect is information about the branches. So how many remote or branch offices do you have in your business? And let's do a relatively medium to small size organization that has about 100 branch offices. Now you can see when I typed in 100 that it took that information and estimated, guessed at, how many users are at these remote locations. Also estimated how many file or print servers are at the locations, and then also estimated some growth. And overall, we look at industry to kind of gauge some of the growth factors. Now, if you want to know what we're asking for in any one of these items, you can just look at the eye and roll over your mouse over it. And when the mouse over is displayed, you can read that information. The other way to do it is you can click on it. This is a rather long note and hard to read in one fell swoop with a mouse over. So you can click on the note, and when you click on it, you can read it. The other important thing is you can take notes. As you're going through the analysis, there are always going to be assumptions that are made, restrictions that are placed. You always want to document who provided you with a piece of information, because later on when you get challenged on it, it's really important to know where that data came from. So here I'm going to put that we included only the East Coast offices as one example. So this is a note that will get A, displayed in the tool, so when you go back and revisit it later, you'll have access to your notes, and B, gets printed as a footnote in the report. And as we said, we try to describe what we're asking for with every data item, and also try to communicate how that information is going to be used. The other thing I want to point out is there is an audit log that will track all of your changes and input as you make it. So you can see that there was an initial value, and then on Wednesday today, October 11th, Eastern Time, I put in a value of 100. So it'll track all of the changes as you make them to the specific file. Right? And we can put in and change any of the information. If we've got, instead of 100 servers, we've got 150 in our branch offices, we can put that. If we're growing more quickly and more slowly than the average, we can change. Any of the data assumptions can be changed. Now, there's a very important note here that basically says using IDC Alinean Research, all of the subsequent information, which is the information down here with these little plus icons next to it, have been defaulted based on the industry, location, size, and overall the profile that we put in. For example, how many branch offices there are, how many computers there are, how many servers there are. So in each one of these sections, and I'm just going to expand one up for you, there is a default assumption. For example, how much do you spend on WAN infrastructure and bandwidth cost at these locations? And we've got an assumption in there of how we came up with $1.2 million. So for each one of these little sections that are here, security infrastructure, server IT admin and support costs, server availability, there are questions just like this. At this time, you can accept the defaults and do a very quick analysis. So for 100 branch offices with 1,000 people at those branch offices, 150 servers, what is my typical benefits that I can expect? Or you can at this time go in and click on each one of these subsections and kind of fill in and confirm whether the industry averages that we've built in for a financial service company just like this are true, or whether, for example, the costs are different. You type it in. It's always good to make sure that you're not putting in bad data. There we go, 1.3 million instead of 1.260. Now, one of the important things is you put data in, again, annotate where you got it from, what your assumptions were. One of the other things I want to point out is if you click on the I again, you can return to the initial formula and initial default, and you can see it tracked all my changes, so I can see where I might have made a mistake. Or in this case, I want to return back to the default value, and it went and did that. It returned me back to 1.26. Okay, we're going to accept most of the defaults in here, at least for now, and we're going to go back and review them. So this will be a very quick analysis and quick run-through that we do. But again, what you want to do is only use those initial defaults when you do something quick. You really want to go and do a little bit of homework and collect some basic information. Now, if you want to know what information needs to be collected, you can go to this little book icon up here, which is a resources. Click on that. And there's a section called questionnaires. And if you open that up, there's a Word questionnaire that you can share with your team to be used to collect the information. So you can use that Word questionnaire, send it out, get the data back, and then you can enter that data in the tool. Or you can all interactively work with the application to enter the data in. As well, in resources, there are some valuable white papers. What's the analysis methodology we used to develop the ROI? And then several white papers and case studies on what Windows Server R2 can do for branches and what ISA can do as well. So some valuable resources, and that's available from this little book icon. Okay, second step in the analysis, you can click on the tab or hit the next button at the bottom to get to the solution selection page. And here what we do is we describe Windows Server 2003 R2 and the features and benefits it provides, as well as ISA. So here what I can do is I can check on or off the various benefits I may want to consider when implementing Server 2003 and/or ISA. If I only want to do the business case for Windows Server 2003 R2 for branches, I would just keep these checkboxes checked up here. And I would uncheck ISA if I'm not going to implement ISA at the same time. Or I can click on ISA, but select only the specific features that I want to implement and benefits that I want to consider. For example, if I'm going to use ISA to improve web and web-based app performance and improve compliance management, but I'm going to do remote access using my same old VPN hardware that I've got installed now or other kind of VPN solution and not use ISA to deliver that, I would uncheck the remote access capability and security from the analysis. Right now, by default, and what I suggest the first time through is just do the analysis with everything checked on. It may be overstating the business case slightly, but we've been very conservative in all the benefits that we put in here, and you'll see that when you compare the results that we generate compared to the white paper. We've been more conservative than a lot of the survey research, and we wanted to do that so that all of the results are very credible and achievable for you. And the other thing that's on the solution selection page that's helpful is we go over specific features within R2, Windows Server 2003 R2, within ISA Server 2006, the specific features that we're looking at that ultimately deliver the benefits. So this goes into a little bit more detail, those lists that I provided in the PowerPoint, and can be provided to ultimately validate whether you're going to be able to achieve some of these benefits up here. So the overall benefits that we're going to consider for R2 are WAN infrastructure and bandwidth, reducing the time for supporting file servers and print servers, reducing and improving the availability by reducing user productivity impacts or business risks when the remote server or WAN connection becomes unavailable or compromised, and empowering more efficient file collaboration between employees in various locations. So again, you can turn on and off any of these that you may want to consider. So if you don't want to consider, for example, file collaboration benefits, you can just check that one off. And for ISA, we're going to look at web and web-based application performance improvements, compliance management improvement at the branch offices, and then what's the benefit of providing better and perhaps cheaper remote access capability and security. Now, one of the buttons that I want to point out is up here in the upper right-hand corner, there's something called Set Implementation Plan and Benefit Realization. I'm just going to click on that really quickly. What I want to do here is show you that when we calculate any benefits, they've been pre-risk adjusted. And what we mean by that is we take into account how long it takes to implement a solution, and we don't count benefits until the solution's deployed. And that's what this first spinner is about, basically. The first pick list basically lets you specify how long you think it's going to take from the time you start this upgrade project to improve branch office manageability with R2 and ISA. How long is it going to take to deploy? And in this case, we're modeling by default 3 months, but if it was going to take 4 or 5, we can program that. And then overall, how do we want to consider direct hard benefits and indirect soft benefits? Very important that you don't treat these the same. So if you're able to improve user productivity or you're able to reduce downtime for users, the business isn't going to get 100% of those benefits back. Maybe because you improve productivity, user goes home earlier. If you improve availability, maybe they just don't have to work extra at the branch to make up for the server or the printer being down. So what we do is we drastically and conservatively discount any soft benefits in the analysis. And by default, we're only counting 10% of any of the indirect benefits. We believe these should be counted, but that they should be discounted. And anything between about 10% on the low end to about 40% on the high end is what we want to put in as a percentage here. And again, by default, I didn't touch this. This is set at 10%. As well, if you're going to have to roll out R2 ISA to the branches over time, you may want to model that rollout and that deployment to where maybe 40 or 50% of the branches aren't updated within the first 12 months. Maybe you're doing a rollout over 12 months to get 50%, 75% in 24 to 36 months, and so on. And you can basically model that with this deployment curve here. So this gives you the ability to really fine-tune some of the analysis fine points to relate to risk and to make sure that all of the results are credible and risk-adjusted. Now let's go on to the TCO analysis. And here what we do is, by default, we do a 3-year analysis. So we're going to compare the cost of our as-is current solution, what we do today, compared to what it's going to cost us to do with branch. And then we're going to look at the overall differences between those costs. So first, we've got various IT costs. And today, to manage these 100 branch offices with the defaults that are from the industry averages because we're accepting IDC's defaults. We can always go back and change them later. Overall, we've got IT costs of $20 million, and that's cumulative over 3 years. So it's costing us about $7 million a year to manage the branch. And that consists of WAN infrastructure and bandwidth costs, so upgrading the infrastructure to support growth, overall maintenance and support contracts for the WAN infrastructure, and overall bandwidth costs are costing about $3.9 million today. IT server, security, and print administration, so the labor to manage the branches, is about $8.6 million. Service desk to support the branches and deal with issues at the branch is $2.5 million, and so on. Admin, travel costs, and overall security infrastructure is $4.5 million. So that overall over 3 years is $20 million. As well, the branches overall are costing, in terms of lost availability and security risk, compliance risks, about $2.8 million a year. So about almost $1 million a year in overall operating costs, mostly in the areas of lost productivity due to availability issues and overall security risks and realized risks. Now with Branch, what we've done is we've modeled the impact, and this modeling was done specifically using real research results for this particular industry. For a company of a typical size, we basically translate the research to match this environment. And conservatively, we think that we can save overall 46% in this scenario on the overall hard costs, the IT costs of managing the business. And then the overall business impact that we can have is about a 40% reduction in overall costs. And then if you scroll down, you total it up, so that overall we're thinking we can save about 45-46%. And then there's, graphically, it's represented down here on a cumulative basis, each one of the savings. So you can compare the current cost. Hard and soft is about $24 million. And we can reduce that to about $14 million. And overall we can look at year by year kind of what the proposed savings are. Now, if we go one more page over, we can look at the overall net benefits. So comparing the as-is environment with what we're proposing, now we can look on a top-down basis at each one of the savings. And here in overall top benefits, we can see that the first benefit is reducing the overall branch office security infrastructure costs. And that's mostly avoiding hardware and servers to support the VPN today. Second is improving overall IT server security and print administration labor. So that's labor improvements and being able to reallocate that, and so on. So we've stack ranked each one of the benefits. Now one of the key things we provide in the tool is you can see that these are blue and underlined. They're hyperlinks. So if you want, you can click on, let's click on the labor one. This one is probably one of the most important ones to review. Overall, we provide a description of what, basically what the advantage that's being provided on Windows Server 2003 R2 and IIS Server is for this particular category. So you've got a certain amount of file and print servers at the remote offices, and we estimate the number of full-time equivalents that it takes to manage those. And in this case, there's 7.1 full-time equivalents managing those servers. Each one is managing about 21 servers worldwide. And we think we can reduce that cost to 50%. And we provide specific documentation of why that is, what features, what functions can help to reduce the labor requirements. And then overall, we quantify that using default burden salaries for a financial services business. That's why this one's a little bit high in terms of the annual burden salary. And overall, it's costing today $2.6 million per year and growing over time as the users grow and the salaries grow to support this environment from a labor perspective. And we can reallocate essentially $900,000 of that if we can achieve this 50% savings to drive it down to $1.7 million. And overall, that's a savings of about 7.2 full-time equivalents. And the savings are essentially, as we spoke about very early in the presentation, it's going to be a reallocation to innovation. This is not about cutting headcount. It's more about reallocating it to much more innovative features and functions. So overall, you can review these exact numbers. Now, more importantly, if we don't believe that 50%, if we want to be more conservative, you can change any assumptions in the model. Again, you should document in the notes the exact change, but you can challenge any of these assumptions. So, for example, if you don't think that you can save 50% and it's 40%, you can type that in. As well, if you want to go back and change what the as-is environment is, in other words, don't accept the industry IDC default that you've got seven people, you go back to the questionnaire, and each one of the sections are labeled clearly down here at the bottom, and now we can click on that, and we can put in exactly how many people overall we have managing the different environment, what we pay them, how many service desk calls there are, and so on. So any of the numbers and metrics in the tool, A, are defaulted with real research information from IDC, and B, are completely customizable and editable, and we highly encourage that. First time through, accept many of the defaults. Get to the results. See how interesting they are. See how compelling they are. See if it even makes sense for your unique environment to consider R2 and ISA. For some environments, you may not be spending enough on bandwidth, not spending enough on people, maybe you've got great service levels, then it's going to be a more marginal case. But overall, for most, we think that it's very compelling technology, very compelling practices, and you can overall implement the technology in a cost-effective enough way that the benefits are overwhelming and compelling. Now, a couple of other features in the tool. One of them is that you can see we kind of stop at TCO analysis and benefits. If you wanted to do a full ROI analysis, you can click on Display Preferences, and you can turn on Costs and ROI. And that would be only for, you know, after you've been through it a few times. And now you can go and edit the costs it takes to implement the solution. So now you can see there's two new tabs that appeared. So here you can go and specify how much it's going to cost to license R2, license ISA, how many additional servers are needed, if there's any networking and telecommunication solutions or costs that need to be upgraded, and then any overall operating expenditures. Does the business unit need to be involved in the project? Is there going to be any downtime during the transition? You can see we've kind of modeled some of this and have defaults in it. Is it going to cost money to set up and install this solution? Absolutely. Are there going to be incremental support calls from the branch? Yes. And we've modeled each of those so that we've accounted for what we think is a very conservative cost profile. And overall, when we compare the costs and the benefits and summarize it into the key financials, these are the overall results. So benefits are essentially $8.2 million over 3 years. Costs for this particular scenario are $1.9 million. And overall, that generates net present value. So when we discount these net benefits into today's dollars, that results in a $5 million overall benefit to the company. And how we calculate net present value is all documented. So when you mouse over each of these, you can see exactly how we did the formulas and the calculations. And this one, this case in particular, has a 277% ROI. So the ratio of net benefits divided by the cost is 277%. And what that means is every dollar that I invested in this project, I got my original dollar back plus $2.77 in benefits. So it's quite compelling. Payback period is 11 months, and that does include the deployment period. So you can see here in the break-even curve, when we look at our benefits and we look at our costs, overall they're breaking even in less than a year. So in this environment, if it took us, we set 4 months as our deployment schedule prior, it's only taking about 7 or 8 months after that to break even, so to exceed our initial cost investment, and that's the definition of payback period here. And overall, if I want to get back to my benefits and look at where they came from, I click on benefits, and it'll take me right back to the benefits page. And again, as I start to go through this and vet the assumptions, vet the analysis, clicking on each one of these will give me the ability to, and you the ability, to edit the particular savings assumptions, to look at the documentation to see why it's justified, In other words, where did IDC get the 30%? Why is it 30% and not 20% and not 40%? And that's all documented in the notes and usually as well documented in the header. And then again, if I want to be more conservative and I don't want to believe the industry research, I'm different, I'm unique, which you are, you can always change an assumption and be more conservative and play what if. What if it is only 10% on bandwidth? How will that impact the benefits? And then overall switch back over to ROI and indicate how it'll impact that. Now, when you're all said and done, you can go to print a report. And I always like printing PowerPoint reports first. They'll give you a good, nice overview and summary. So you can print a report to PowerPoint, and you can also print it to Word. And then you can examine the results and present them to other team members, executives, and let's just open up the PowerPoint here. And the PowerPoint creates, and let's see, I need to share this one. Share. Sorry about that. There we go. Now you can see the PowerPoint that I am seeing. Comes up with a title page and a name that you can customize. Goes over a little bit of background on branch solutions, some of the key issues with branches and unique industry challenges. So some of the slides that we presented earlier, some of what branch can do. And then ultimately, it culminates in an overall business case that customizes from the data in the tool, where the data came from, overall key results, and then all of the charts and graphs and analysis from the tool are included in the report. And the Word report is similar, except it's in Word format. So if you wanted to include it as part of a bigger proposal, or as a bigger business case proposal to the organization, you can do that. And these PowerPoints are completely customizable. So what I'd like to do now is return back to the meeting and see if there's any questions. If you would post those questions real quickly, we can get them answered. One of the things I wanted to point out is when you launch the tool from strongbranches.com, and you go into it, you're going in as a non-registered user. You can do an analysis and save it, but if you want to go back into the tool, when you exit the tool, so if I hit this little X button or if I close my window up here, it is going to prompt me, and I don't know if you guys are seeing the screen, but overall it is going to prompt you to register. And it's really important to register so that you can go back to your analysis, because if you exit without registering, you're going to lose your analysis. So we want you to, if you want to, come back and rerun that analysis that you just spent time putting data in and working with, we ask that you register. You'll get an email that'll give you a new link on how to access the tool so that you can register with the username and password that we send to you. So it's really important to remember that the first time through, go to strongbranches.com, run it. But after you register, there'll be a hyperlink that we send to you in the email that you should use to then further access the tool with your own unique account. Excellent. All right, so I want to open the floor up to any questions. And one of the questions that is posted is, what's the typical ROI or payback period that you normally expect for a project? And these really vary a lot. Most companies have their own unique criteria project by project and also for IT in terms of what kind of ROI to expect. Normally for a project like this, I would recommend that the lowest ROI you consider is about 100%. And the highest ROI that I would like to see come out of an analysis like this is in the order of 400 to 500%. And you know, you need to tune the results so that you basically are getting something that's credible and believable and also risk adjusted. And whenever it comes to an IT project, you want to make sure you've got enough advantage built in to the analysis and the perceived metrics that you're going to achieve to overcome any risks for the project, because we've all been involved in IT projects where, you know, we've underestimated the cost a little bit on the front end or underestimated the deployment schedule. So it's really important to have the ROI at least be 100%. Once you've got all the results as conservative as you want them, to be higher than 100% to account for some uncertainty on the cost side and also uncertainty on achieving the overall benefits. But if the ROI is delivering results that are too high, for example, north of 500%, I don't think they're often risk-adjusted enough. Now, it's not that in doing research we haven't found projects that deliver 800%, 1,000% ROI, but in typical presentations, I would rather that folks didn't sign up for such huge benefits and that you be more conservative in all the assumptions that are being made. If you happen to overachieve on the project and you state that it's going to be a 400% return and it ultimately delivers 800%, then you'll turn out to be a hero. But I'd rather that folks be more conservative with the overall results. And that's why we put in place a lot of the risk adjustment factors and make sure that we're more conservative than the white paper in a lot of the analytics that we put into the tool. In terms of overall payback period, typically what we find is companies want paybacks within 12 months of deployment. So that means if a project is going to take 3 months to deploy, the maximum payback period you should see in the tool is about 15 months. 12 months for the typical period plus the 3 months in deployment. And the reason for that is normally when you make an investment, you'd like to see it pay back, deliver the benefits to make up for your investment in a rather short time horizon, because the longer it takes to achieve payback, to achieve break even, the riskier the project is. So typically, if you make an investment in one fiscal year, early in the year, you like to see you get a return on that investment within about a 12-month period. So normally for companies, payback periods that are good are within the order of 6 to 16 months, somewhere in that time frame, less than 12 months from the deployment. Are there any other questions? Well, great then. I really want to thank everyone for their time and participation in this WebEx and web session. We have the resources available to you at www.strongbranches.com. I encourage you to visit that site, download the white paper, run the calculator. Please register with the system so you can go back and revisit it. And we'd love to hear back from you about your experiences in using the tool, and are happy to help you with any of the analytics and analysis advice and services that you may need. So thanks very much, and John, I'll turn it back over to you.
Great. Thank you so much, Tom. Excellent content today. Really appreciate you taking the time out to bring that presentation to us. Ladies and gentlemen, before we move on, I just want to point out a couple of things. I'm going to push out a survey right here at the end. If you could take a moment to fill that out, that would be very useful to us. We actually prepare reports on every webcast based on results that we get from the surveys, and we use that to refine the content for these webcasts. So it's very helpful for us to, if you could just fill out the survey and let us know what you thought. Next thing, for upcoming and previously live webcasts, many of you know this already, www.microsoft.com/webcasts. You will find this webcast presented there on demand tomorrow. It'll be a streaming replay, plus you can find listings of all of our upcoming webcasts. If you have any webcast content ideas, this very long URL here, which I'm not going to try to say, is where you would want to go. We actually have produced a number of webcasts based on content ideas coming from attendees to these webcasts, so we do look at them, and we also appreciate the input. So at some point, if you have an idea and you'd like to see it produced, go there and let us know. I'll just mention quickly, if you would like to take a copy of this slide deck so that you could have reference to this URLs or to see the slides that were presented, if you use your file menu right now and use the print to PDF option, that will allow you to put a copy of the slide deck in PDF format onto your hard drive. Last thing, today's webcast was presenting using Microsoft Office Live Meeting. This is a very powerful collaboration tool. Besides these presentations, we use them for everything, including remote meetings. If you're not currently using it, it's really worth a try. The trial is free. It's at www.microsoft.com/presentlive. It could be very beneficial to your business, especially if you have situations where you need to deal with people remotely. All right. As promised, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to push that evaluation out right now. Most of you probably did register online, so you would click on the, actually, I think currently we need everybody to click on the All Other Registrants link. So this is a live web page, and that's up on your screen right now. The bottom link, All Other Registrants, is what we are currently needing for you to use. Ladies and gentlemen, if you could take a moment, fill that out, we would really appreciate it. But for now, that will conclude the audio portion of this webcast. I wanted to give a special thank you to Tom Pacello for presenting today. His excellent presentation. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for attending. We wouldn't do these webcasts if you didn't come. So we are looking forward to seeing you all online again at another webcast. Thank you for attending, ladies.
Hello, thank you for listening to this webcast. We value your feedback, so please take a couple minutes and go to www.webcastaudio.com/survey to complete a quick evaluation. Thank you.